Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about where is my money going? Have you ever logged into your bank app and you look at how much money's left and you're like, where has it all gone? And didn't I only just get paid not that long ago? What have I spent money on? And then you look at your transactions and you go, oh yeah, that happened. I spent money on this, that, or the other thing. And this is important to think about as a property investor because right now, interest rates are still high. There is a real cost of living issue from a lot of people. And a lot of borrowers are still going from lower interest rates. You might be moving on to a much higher interest rate. And what that all means is that a lot of property investors are struggling with cash flow. So if you've ever found yourself asking, where's my money going and how can I make it further, that's what we're going to dive into today. And one of the things we want to do is show you how to do it live. And Andrew and I are going to read out our real credit card statements and talk about some of the things on there that, you know, maybe we could cut a bit back on ourselves. But one thing that I did see, Andrew, that I want to play you is this awesome clip from Saturday Night Live, which is sometimes a good reminder.
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help.
We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
And so yeah, we'll put that link to the whole YouTube clip down in the comments. And so we're going to do this. Now, Andrew, why are we reading out our credit card statements?
Well, I think the big thing is a lot of our spending is actually unconscious now. We sign up to subscriptions and we put it on our credit card and the direct debits just come out automatically. And then if you're kind of not aware of it, you can really easily overspend because just normal life expenses go out as well. And we forget about those payments that are coming out every month or every quarter for our wine subscription.
Oh, you always go on about your wine subscription.
Yeah, because I'm always getting a box of wine delivered to the house. I don't know how many subscriptions I'm on now.
Okay, well, I'll go first then because I probably have more normal expenses. Now, I've just pulled up mine for the first year and you can see, three days ago, my Newmarket, Auckland, what is it? National Mini Storage, which is $125 a month.
How long you had that storage unit?
2 years since my last breakup. They always say in self-storage, the three Ds, death, downsizing, and divorce. And I was not married, but actually, if I think about that, that's quite scary now that you say it, Andrew. So I'm paying $125 a month for that. That is about $1,500 a year.
So $3,000 you've wasted.
To be honest, I probably didn't need to have it there. I should go clear that out.
Also, the stuff in there, if you haven't seen it in 2 years, do you really need it?
Probably not. I don't even think stuff there. There's a record player that you bought me for a couple of years ago for my birthday. And if you think about $1,500 a year.
It's a lot.
What? Are you upset about
that? Chuck it in the storage unit. Forget about it.
Do you want the truth or do you not want the truth? You know, for me to earn $1,500 after tax, I would have to earn $2,500 before tax. And so I think, oh my gosh, I'm actually spending, you know, a couple of percentage points of my income on National Mini Storage. They've got me. That unconscious spending.
And it's such a hassle to go and empty it out again.
The other thing that I keep seeing, and I don't even know what this is. What is it for? Apple.com bill. $17. What am I spending on Apple?
It says Grindr subscription.
It's not a Grindr subscription. I cancelled that after the last episode. So here's another tip for you. If you go into your settings, if you've got an iPhone, and actually I know for a fact most of you listening have an iPhone, and you go into...
Is that because we collect the stats on people?
It's because you get it through it but when you listen to podcasts.
You say it's such a creepy way. I know for a fact you've got that iPhone.
So if you go to your settings and you tap on your face, you can click on subscriptions. I'm going to see where that $16.99 is going. Where is it going? Oh, it's an active. Maybe it's going to YouTube. Or is it going to, the New Zealand Herald renews on the 29th. I thought I cancelled that. I don't know. I don't even know what that $16.99 is for,
They've
Andrew.
Got you. And how do you cancel it without cancelling your credit card?
I think
card?
It might be my iCloud subscription.
Oh, it'll be iCloud. That'll it's a lot, exactly what it is.
And I'm spending $14 a year on my email address to have my...
Ed McKnight.
Yeah, that's right. Ed@edmcknight.com.
You just told everyone your personal email address.
Oh, email me. You already do. No, I love it. Please don't stop emailing me. God, it does add up. And if I... Let's look at some other dumb decisions that I've made. You know, what else have I got? Uber? No, that's normal. Oh, I've signed up for Uber for $9.99 a month.
Oh, did you guys do that? Is this for the upgrade membership?
I don't even know why I did that.
Yeah, I did it as well. It's a waste of time.
Because then if you say, well, that's $10 a month, and then there's that other $16 a month thing, and then we found this other $14 a month thing, which is like my email address. And then, you know, that's like $40 a month right there, which is
what's
about
the car park there?
That's about $480 a year that I'm spending on Uber, Google and iCloud. To be honest, I should just put it in the company Dropbox and make you pay for it.
Yeah, I knew exactly where that was going.
But if you add that up, we have literally just found $2,000 that, to be honest, if I cancelled it, it wouldn't materially impact my life. So that is real unconscious spending.
That could be $40 a week top up towards an investment, right? If you wanted to.
I was more thinking I'll take myself out for some sushi.
$2,000 of sushi.
Oh, it's a lot of sushi. I enjoy it immensely. But the amazing thing, there's some stuff in here that I've got to be honest, I'm actually not upset about. So when Andrew and I were recently in Sydney, just on a bit of a holiday, and I spent quite a bit of money taking myself off to Opera Australia.
Oh, he did too, by himself as well. I offered to go with him and he said, no.
You wouldn't enjoy it. You don't like going to musicals.
I would have hated it.
But I enjoyed every minute. So I look at the... To be honest, it was quite expensive. It was a couple of $100. And I...
That's $400!
Yeah, I bought the best seat of the house. If I'm seeing West Side Story, I'm doing it right. But I look at that spending, I'm like, actually, no, I think that was worth it. But the $6 for Apple here, the $125 I'm spending each month with National Mini Storage, that actually doesn't materially improve my life. So I am literally frittering money away and should probably stop that. Now, Andrew, make me feel better about myself. What are you wasting money on? What are you frittering money away on?
Well, actually, funny timing with this. So just a couple of weeks ago, I went into my subscriptions on my phone and eliminated like 10 subscriptions that were just stuff that I had a phone recording app because I needed to ring someone and take notes. So I downloaded this thing and forgot after I'd had that conversation.
Was it Taper Call?
I don't know, but it was something.
I had that one for a while.
$50 a year. But I'd kept it going for ages. There were a couple of Wondery podcast app. I'd signed up for that, never used it. There's stuff that I've kept. So the things that I keep are my Netflix. I've got Disney. I've got Neon. I've got YouTube. I've got Amazon Prime. So there's...
Wow, you've got five.
Yeah.
That is so much.
Yeah, but I like it.
To be fair, if you add it all up, it'd probably be the cost of a Sky TV subscription.
Yeah.
And the thing here is some people would listen to that and be like, why would you need five digital streaming services? And the answer is you don't. But the most important thing to do is to go through and find out which ones add value and which ones you are literally frittering money away on, like that you unconsciously didn't even know. Anything else that's really...
So yeah, my wine subscriptions are bad. Well, bad in the sense that there is a lot of them. Well, actually, to be fair, I couldn't tell you how many I've got, but in looking in here, it looks like there might be 6 or 7 wine clubs that I belong to, which it probably explains why I keep getting boxes of wine delivered to my house. Well, actually, that's my spending card, but I'm going to go into my one that's attached to Lauren as well. So, here's one, Samsung Electronic. So that must be for my Samsung TV. $70. Let's see how often that is. I can only find one, but it might be, so that might be once a year. Does that sound right? For the wallpaper that I pay for on my TV?
Wait a second. So if you buy one of those Samsung TVs.
Yeah, you buy a subscription as well.
Wait, that has like art, yeah, and it correct. Looks like an art piece. That's subscription.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, they are ripping you a new one.
This is an interesting
one. That's
line.
Incorrect. And I know some of you guys will be like, oh yeah, your mouth's open now.
Yeah, I've just noticed that my Air New Zealand parking has been going through my personal card for, it looks like, forever.
Oh, rather than being charged to the company when you go on business trips. Mm. Oh, that's interesting. And actually, one of the reasons, you know, I talk about in my wealth plan, our book, where I got into trouble in the past, was running business expenses through my personal card, wasn't my company at the time, getting reimbursed, and then you miss some. And so, yeah, business expenses can leave you out of pocket. And I know some people listening to the show will say these two are so unrelatable. One has a million wine subscriptions. The other likes to spend a couple of $100 going to
sushi,
operas and musicals. No, not so. I don't spend that much money on sushi, but, you know, going to operas and musicals. These two are so unrelatable. Why am I listening to these privileged guys talking about money? And I think what we're trying to show here is that some of the stuff that we spend money on is legitimately stupid and we should stop. And that is the point. The point is that all of us, even us, you know, we can cut back. No one is a total financial guru. Like, we've all got some areas where we are frittering money away. And if we go through our credit card statement, our bank account statement, and some of you do all the time, but a lot of people I talk to don't do this religiously, you can often find some stuff where you go, why am I spending money on that? I should probably stop it. And the big issue that I often find with money is that you think everyone else is perfect but you, or you think everyone is responsible with their money but you. But the truth is that we're all trying to figure this out. We're all on our journey to improving our wealth.
And actually, I'll tell you a funny story. So I was sitting with one of our financial advisors, Stevie, just yesterday, and she was telling me about some investors that came in to see her who have a wealth gap. Now, like most people, they want to build some more assets for their financial future. Here's the problem. They don't have any surplus cash at the moment to put towards a top-up, which I get because it's hard from a cash flow perspective right now for most people with this cost of living crisis. The problem is these people have no good reason not to be able to afford it. They're on really, really high incomes, but they've got themselves into a position where they are frittering money away and not really knowing where it goes. And I'll give you an example of that, which I thought was quite funny. So their kids, two of the kids, are into roller skating.
I used to be into roller skating.
Did you? I bet you were. Anyway, how much do you think, and it was quite funny, but before the meeting with Stevie, they'd diligently gone through their bank statement and actually worked out some of the confronting numbers that they're spending. How much do you reckon that it was costing them per year on roller skating for the two kids?
So I would guess that they're getting 2 hours of coaching a week, which is about 100.
Oh, you've gone deeper than I did.
100 hours of coaching a year.
Yeah.
So between them. And it's probably, you know, $70 a lesson, let's call it. So I'm going to say 7,000 on coaching, plus let's call it a grand on equipment a year. And they're probably going off to some tournaments. So let's call it 2 grand. I'm going to say they're spending 10 grand a year on roller skating at the high end.
I said $1,000. Do you know what they're spending?
10 grand. I just calculated it for you.
$30,000.
What are they spending? 30 grand. Come here, kids. We're going to scrap on our roller skates and we're going to go down to the park.
I don't like, are you, that is crazy. $30,000. And what's unfortunate for these people is, as a result of now this expensive hobby that the kids have got, they can't invest for their future.
Wait a second. So if you think about $30,000, to spend $30,000, you've got to go to work,
you've
right?
got to make 50.
You've got to go and you've got to make about 45 grand. 45 grand is like minimum wage. So this is like somebody going and working a minimum wage job, taking every cent that they earn after paying tax and putting it towards these two kids' roller skating lessons.
Yeah, and I think they've got 4 kids as well.
They better be like about to become pro or something.
You'd really want your kids to be able to do something later on in life to support you.
Now, look, the point here is not that we're ripping these investors in year one and saying that you're making a dumb financial decision. What's the message?
No, the message is that obviously every person has a limited amount of money, and I guess we've got to decide where we're going to allocate that money. Now, I do have lots of wine subscriptions, but that makes me happy. And if I know what I'm spending and I'm happy with that money going there and I've got other investments, then that's cool. But if some of the fritter that we're spending money on is just going on rubbish and we're not getting ahead, we need to take a good hard look at it and maybe eliminate some of that stuff, because it does become easier to spend money the more you make. And then if it's not adding to your life, then you're just wasting it.
Yeah, so the first step is sorting out that fritter factor. Not necessarily about living on the least amount of money you possibly could. It's about saying, well, what's making me happy and what spend isn't really making me happy? The next thing you can think about is growing your income. And you might think, well, how can I do this? Well, one way is to ask your boss for a pay rise. Important that if you do that, you've got to justify that you're actually adding value to the business. Otherwise, you might find that you don't get a pay rise just for the sake of it. You've actually got to be adding something to the company. But another option that I know a lot of people think about are side hustles, which is just a way to earn some money on top of your regular job. And there's this really cool lady in Hamilton who we met probably about a year ago, Tracy Hemingway, who calls herself the debt-free diva. We met her at a...
Oh, she was a hoot.
Yeah. Pink hair, did at the time. And she was...
A mortgage broker.
Yeah, and it was at the Waikato real estate event. And I recently heard her speaking about how she paid off $100,000 of debt in 3 years, and she used a lot of side hustles in her strategy. Here's her talking about all the side hustles she used.
I did newspaper delivering, pamphlet delivering, lime scooter juicing, Uber Eats, babysitting, mystery shopping. I sold fireworks on the side of the road once.
Oh my God.
Stock taking. Obviously, I have an Airbnb now. That's a side hustle. DJing, MCing, house sitting, pet sitting, dog walking.
So if you want to do pet sitting, dog walking, house sitting, recharging lime scooters, completing surveys, stock taking, being a DJ. I can imagine myself with a set of DJ headphones on.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you get that record player out of storage then?
You can hire me on a Saturday night. But the point here isn't that you've got to go and do, you know, 10 or 12 different side hustles, right? But it shows you the extent to what some people are willing to do in order to be able to, like, earn a little bit of extra income, either to invest or to, you know, create a bit of cash flow to help get through. The other option people often don't think about is taking a look at their mortgage to free up cash. And so from all of this, Andrew, you know, what's the outcome from this? What should people be aiming for?
Well, I think first of all is do look at your expenses and see what stuff you are frittering away and eliminate that stuff. But then I think you should set yourself a savings goal. And Stevie told her clients this: I want you to go away and I want you to save $200 a week. And then after 3 months, you need to see whether or not you've dipped into that $200 a week, that pool of money, or whether or not you've been actually able to keep it there. Because if you can't keep it there, the problem's way deeper than just you're overspending. We need to start to look at some of your behaviours. And I think that's really good advice, because you'd be amazed how easy it is to put some money away and not touch it if you actually are just diligent to start that process.
Yeah, it's that idea of paying yourself first or making saving a priority. Some people, they get the money in, they spend, and then they say, I'm going to save what's left over. The people who are really successful at saving say, cool, my pay comes in. The first thing I'm going to do is save, because that is so important, and I'm going to spend what's left over rather than save what's left over. It's so simple, but it's something that can really help a lot of people. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Sam McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.